The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
What time is it?
I started to question myself if I was watching Lucha Underground and I had accidentally flipped over to Cinemax.
Not a whole lot of faces shown as far when it comes to Brenda, so.
Yeah.
You're spot on there, buddy.
This is the house that AJ Styles built.
You know, like Nakamura, he's just such a great star. It doesn't matter what you do with him, people are going to cheer for him.
Did you feel the gloriousness? Did you feel it? Bobby Roode did his job.
This is insane how great they are.
Well, I think the authors of Pain are young prodigies.
That's how good we are
representing Bullet Club. This is what we do.
Super Kid Patty! It's Japan!
Nia, last week after Raw, I talked to you about what happened. You explained your actions were that you wanted an opportunity, and tonight you got that opportunity for No Mercy. What is your message for those three other women you'll be facing?
Those three other women. Did you watch the match tonight? Did you see what all three of those women had in common? I took each and every one of them out. So, you tell me what's going to happen at No Mercy.
Ladies and gentlemen, wrestling to the max.
And your hosts, Gary Vaughn, Sean Garmer, and Paul Leeser.
Hey, everybody. It is time. That's right, for Wrestling to the Max. That's right. And once again, we are here and ready to rock. It is episode 263, part one. And of course, we are brought to you by W2Mnet.com, the place where you go find all your great wrestling needs and a lot more. Hey, if you want to go find us, make sure you go subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast from. Maybe Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, heck, even YouTube. Go ahead and go do all that, and you will have us in your dock every time you go check it out. And you won't miss an episode of this show, as well as all our great reviews like Raw, SmackDown Live, 205 Live, and NXT. And we want to make sure we give a special shout out to 411mania.com, as well as LastWordOnProWrestling.com. Hey, we appreciate their support and everything that they do for us. And, you know, I am your host, Gary Vaughn. Along with me is Mr. Sean Garmer.
What's up, everybody?
And Mr. Paul Leeser.
Heyo.
And guys, we have a lot to talk about tonight. I'm really excited about this episode. We have some big news coming out of the world of wrestling, like Sexy Star and some of the things going down with that. Yeah, a certain situation took place following all the stuff that went down with her last week. And we'll be getting into that. Plus, we'll be talking some WWE news. They've got some news basically about their holiday schedule and what they'll be doing. And, of course, a certain commentator is leaving. That's right. We'll be getting into that, along with GFW coming out with a network of their own. Kind of weird. Talk about that. As well as we'll be jumping into some Ring of Honor talk. And, you know, also one thing we forgot last week, guys, and that is the fact that we have to celebrate our 5-year anniversary. Weird to say that, very odd to feel that way because it doesn't feel like it's been 5 years, but it has been 5 years. So we're going to celebrate that tonight. We're going to be getting into just some of our off the top of our head thoughts about it. We didn't plan at all about this, trust me. We could have sat here and made a big deal about it, wrote down notes and did all this stuff, but I think it's just more fun to go off the cuff and just talk about our 5 years as Wrestling to the Max and as a trio here, and just kind of talk about some of the historical parts of the show that made us laugh, maybe sad, maybe some other good things. So we'll be doing that, but you know, we're going to sandwich that in between Quick Hits and Ring of Honor. We don't want to start the show off just talking about ourselves, so don't worry, folks. You're going to get into wrestling stuff before we get into our personal stuff. But yeah, I mean, we're about to get into a lot of the other things, but I do want to mention a couple things from my end, and I'm going to let these two guys kind of share some things if they want to share. But I have to say this, guys. This is the first episode for me as Uncle Gary. That's right. I'm an uncle. As of this weekend, my nephew, Weston, was born. And so it's kind of weird because, you know, I keep saying it weird, but this whole weekend has been odd. Very strange for me. And a lot of the things that I'm seeing in front of me are very odd, too. You know, just reading the news and a bunch of other things going on. I've seen two hurricanes coming up at us and all this other stuff. So very strange. But yes, guys, I'm an uncle. I'm even older, Paul. It's getting worse.
I mean, first off, congratulations. It's very cool.
Thanks.
I've hung out a lot of older people since I was about 18, and some of them had kids when I was that old. So I've been referred to as Uncle Paul for a long time. So it's nothing like, hey, I mean, obviously they're not directly related to me, but you claim them nonetheless as your own. And I don't know, watching kids grow up is just a heap of fun. And it's always nice to be able to talk to somebody who is the same mental age as you are. So that's where I get the most enjoyment out of.
Yeah, exactly, right? Oh, man, yeah, I'm just trying not to be older, and it just feels like every day it becomes that way. And I notice, you know, I'll have my few senior moments like I did a couple weeks ago, you know, on this show. So, and I don't, you know, really divulge, you know, a lot of my personal stuff, but that's one thing I just wanted to share, and I think it is something that's kind of special, and it happened this weekend, so wanted to share that. I mean, Paul, anything's going on special with you? Are you like me? Are you getting ready for the fall lineup for all these TV shows and different things coming our way?
Yeah, there's a couple of new TV shows I want to check out too. I wanted to talk about senior moments though, because I'm not even 30 yet, and I will walk into the kitchen and forget why I walked into the kitchen. So.
No, it's not as bad as going to the bathroom. Like, did I need to be in here or not? I don't remember.
At least you have the excuse that, you know, your daughter might tell you, "Hey, I need to go to the bathroom" or something, and
yeah,
you know. You wind up there on that, and you go, wait a minute, why am I still in here?
Yeah, I know. I need to put on my resume. You know, besides my, you know, the positions I've held and working-wise, one of my jobs is turning on the light. So I'm really good at that, folks.
Yeah.
Just letting you know that.
Turning the light for me.
Yeah, so. But no, I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff coming. My wife, Paul, has been really bugging me about, okay, is the fall lineup out yet? Is it out yet? Is it out yet? So. Lots of cool stuff coming our way when it comes to entertainment. I know you're probably excited about some stuff.
Yeah, I'm a huge Star Trek fan, so I'm going to check out Discovery. The Orville over on Fox looks really funny. I'm super excited for the second season of This Is Us, too. I love crying, apparently.
Yes. Oh, my God, that show. Holy crap. I have never sat there and been like, you're punching me in the gut.
Mm-hmm.
Every time, how do
every
you do
week.
This?
Yeah. It's gotten me close to crying once. I haven't cried in a very long time, and that's the closest I've gotten.
wait till you know, Paul, you do experience having kids. It makes you more emotional. I know, Sean, you have to be honest and say it makes you have those problems when you watch shows like that. Oh my God.
I don't know. I think I've cried a bunch of times watching that show. I'm a very sentimental person anyway, but like this is one of those, like, I don't know how you watch that show and go, yeah, that was nothing.
Yeah,
like, you got to feel something, or you're not human watching that show. It's crazy.
You know, besides just, you know, all the entertainment stuff coming out, Sean, I mean, we also have, you know, the startup of the football season. So that means, you know, you and I are even busier because now we have the college top 25 for W2Mnet.com. Mm-hmm. Plus, we're getting into the NFL rankings we'll be doing and all the other great stuff.
Well, Gary doesn't have to sit there and watch games like Eric and I do. So he gets that saving grace. Yeah. I like that, though, so it's fine. Like, I like going back and watching why the team lost or whatever. You know, you had the big cut-down day over the weekend, which was very interesting. You know, so, yeah. And then we'll be doing our season preview tomorrow. So It's hitting us Thursday. It's there. And then we'll have a full weekend of games that actually matter.
It's yeah.
Crazy.
It's going to be insane. It really will be. But, you know, I'm really looking forward to football season. I know a lot of fans out there, if you're in America, you are too. Hey, guys, I'm sorry, in the UK and around the world, you're listening. This is just our moment. We live in the U.S. This is kind of a big deal, you know. So this
well,
is like,
I mean, you know, if you want to look at it from a global perspective, I'm sitting here biting my nails hoping the United States men's national team better win in Honduras tomorrow, or I'm going to be screaming on the podcast that we do afterwards.
I can't believe they blew that last World Cup qualifier. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I already spat my anger at that, so we'll leave it there.
But yeah, guys, I mean, we got a lot of stuff going on. You know, like I said, we are getting into the fall part of our year, and lots of cool, brand new stuff coming our way. Lots of different things that are happening. So, you know, just a few things with us. But now I think it's time for us to move on here, and we're going to jump into some wrestling news. We'll be getting.
I love how Gary said we weren't going to talk about us at the beginning. We still.
I'm sorry. I know. I know. I just had to share that before we got into our historical stuff, because that's completely different. So, sorry, folks. You know, write me a letter. You can hit me up at W2MGary. There you go. Anyway, let's do some quick hits, guys.
Let's do it.
It's time for wrestling news. Quick hits.
Take it away, Gary.
All right, well, let's start off by talking about Sexy Star. That's right, the biggest controversial person as of last week. Now she kind of comes into this week having a little bit more news with her. She has been stripped, that's right, of the AAA title, you know, the Queen of Queens Championship, or if you want to say in Spanish, Reina de Reinas title. See, I was able to say it.
Crushed it, go. Buddy. Nice.
Thank you. Man, see, I got one thing on my side. But anyway, yeah, she lost it because of all this controversy. Everything, you know, went down with Rosemary at Triple Mania, and they decided, hey, this is not good for our company because everybody's looking down at us, and this is just a bad, bad situation. So they took it away from her. You know, and we sit here, Paul, looking at this, and for the fact that, you know, this was just an awful situation, but AAA's got some plans in the future with how they're going to kind of crown a new champion. What do you think about all this? And I know you probably read this big, long summary that she wrote saying, you know, why this happened and basically her point of view.
Yeah, so she wrote her point of view on Twitter, I think today. About the incident that happened at Triple Mania, and she describes it very differently and sort of sandwiches the good stuff in between a lot of explanation just about herself and her character and how she treated wrestling as this big deal for herself and all this. But basically, she doesn't even bring up that Vampiro made her apologize. She said she went back there and checked on her as soon as she heard she was hurt. And Rosemary appeared to be standing and just holding ice back in the production area and seemed okay. So she left with her husband thinking everything was all right. That is the only person who has said anything different to what everybody else has said. That Vampiro made her apologize and that she had to be basically ran out of the building because she was about to get in a fight with one of the other wrestlers back there. That stuff has been at least confirmed by a couple other people who were at the show. So it feels like she's sort of backpedaling and just trying to salvage whatever she can. But I it makes sense for AAA. They're going to crown a new champion in this October show, Heroes Inmortales, in October in a five-way match. If you're interested in AAA and what's going on there, she is not in it. I don't know if Sexy Star is going to be with the company much longer. I don't know if she's going to be wrestling much longer because we talked about WrestleCade already taking away her booking and giving it to Rosemary. So this seems like Sexy Star might not be wrestling very much longer.
Well, yeah, and if AAA is the one taking her out, I just can't see anybody else taking her. That would have been the only company that I could have seen, hey, we'll give you a pass, or we'll use you a little later, or let's just let this all blow over right now. But yeah, I don't see how this is going to turn out well for her. I didn't read that thing, but that just already sounds stupid. I mean, I get protecting yourself, and I get not wanting to, but come on, apologize. Mm-hmm. Like, act like you're a human being and understand that you did wrong, and don't just sit there and act like nothing happened here. The people are just charging you with stuff that didn't occur. This just seems so off the wall, and I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised that later she comes out and goes, "Oh, I didn't write that," or something. Because it's like,
yeah.
If you did something to someone and you're just going to act like that didn't happen, I don't get it.
You know, the one thing that you kind of get from this is that she doesn't ever take responsibility for any of her actions. And not only that, it doesn't seem like the remorse is really there. Like, you don't really have her saying, "Look, I am so sorry this happened to Rosemary, and it's my fault. I didn't realize it. I didn't know. I had no inclination that this was happening. I saw her with an ice pack. I just assumed things were fine. I feel terrible. I will do anything possible to help her. You know, I'll raise money. I'll do something, whatever I can do." None of that comes out of her mouth. It's just about me, oh, and then me again. Oh, and then me, and feel bad for me. And I think that says a lot about Sexy Star's character. And from what we're hearing, and we talked about this last week, but, you know, really, it's all about the fact that this is not the first occasion. This is just probably one of the worst occasions that she's had compared to the other bad stuff that's happened to the promotions. And you really wonder why she chose this time and this place and this wrestler, because this is someone that a lot of people do know. This is not just some person that's a random, you know, lower-level wrestler, right? I mean, she probably maybe could have got away with this wrestling somewhere in Mexico against some no name and, you know, separated their shoulder, did whatever she wanted to do, and just say, "I'm Sexy Star, it was an accident, sorry," walk on. No one probably would have said much. Why did she choose Rosemary? Why did she choose this time? What's her thought process? That's the biggest questions that I have in my mind.
Well, I don't think she's going to tell you why she chose her or anything like that, because that just vilifies her even more.
Oh, no. Yeah. You know? You're right.
But just saying "I'm sorry," at least, and knowing that, hell, you could say that you were just, you went crazy in your mind and like, didn't think about what you were doing at that moment. Like, you come up with so much other bullshit to say that also sort of accepts responsibility and not have to come out and go, "Well, I just hate her and I wanted to make an example," or what, you know, what other dumb things she could say. But it's just, to not accept any responsibility at all, it's just ridiculous.
Here's the biggest question I have, and Paul, you might be able to answer this for me, I'm not sure. Okay, so I just recently listened to Chris Jericho's interview with Taya, and she talked a lot about the fact that AAA screwed her over. They found a way to strip her out of the title. They get, you know, underhanded things that they did, and they would never answer questions, and they just said, "Oh, it's just better for the company, and things are working differently. It's its storyline." And Sexy Star all of a sudden shows up, gets the title almost immediately, and it seems like they had planned this somehow, some way, for Sexy Star to be the top dog in this women's division. And now she does that. It just seems a little contradictory to me on what's going on here. Do you have any insight on maybe some of the things going down?
Not entirely. There's a lot of thought that maybe the Taya Mundo Vampiro angle was a work. That has yet to be clarified as true, but I've read a couple of stuff from Cubs fan, who's a well-respected Lucha Libre insider here in the States who does a lot of translation and posts all sorts of stuff for AAA and CMLL here, that he gave his reasons why he all thought it was a work, and it made sense. Whether it's true or not, I don't know, but Vampiro is going to do what he's going to do, I guess. I Sexy Star, and I think I talked about this last time we talked about this, too. Maybe she, you know, because the boxing thing either didn't work out, or she's only doing that part-time along with wrestling or whatever, and maybe she's just really upset that the way she wanted to go and boxing and be a big success there. It didn't happen. And now she's back here, and it feels like a step back for her, and she's sort of just lashing out. I don't know. But as far as the way AAA works, like, that's Vampiro's doing what he's going to do, I guess, as we've seen in Lucha as well.
It just seems odd. Yeah, he picks Sexy Star and has her come in and really puts all his chips with her, and then she does this to him. If I'm Vampiro, I am pissed. I'm like, I've basically ran off a ton of wrestlers for the ideas and the things that I want to take place, and then here I do one of my ideas, and then they royally screw me. So, yeah, this is not looking very well for him, at least for perspective of the success of AAA and things going forward. But at least now we'll have a new Reina de Reyes champion, and we'll maybe have something better happen for AAA compared to this news. It's just Sexy Star, once again, you're out of luck, and that's your fault. No one else's, you know? So I really don't ever care if I see a wrestle again. I know I will, because I watch, you know, Lucha Underground until this season's over. We'll see her. But after that, I just don't care if I ever watch her again, and I kind of hope I don't. Yeah, well, let's talk about something else that I think is kind of a bummer. Not for me, but for guys that are working in a certain company, and that company is WWE. They will apparently be working live on Monday Night Raw this year on both Christmas Day and New Year's Day. And that means that these guys will either spend time with their family on the road, or they won't see their family at all, which is, to me, really sad, Sean. I mean, like, I would be really bummed out about that if I was them.
Yeah, that's really got to be just kind of disheartening if you're any of the wrestlers, especially the Raw brand, both brands. I'm going to guess they're going to make them do a house show for SmackDown just so that there's no equal treatment, or perhaps they'll make it a double brand show that night or something. I don't know, but that's just really, really unfair to them. Now, to be looking at it in the other, you know, dropping the other foot, we do have sports stars that don't get to see their families either. They have to travel and play games on Christmas. Basketball and basketball for sure, and now football has gotten into the act as well. The American football. So, you know, there are people that have to go through this, and obviously, you know, doctors and other people that can't be missing work. Doesn't matter when. But yeah, this sucks. This sucks for WWE wrestlers that are used to having the show taped, and you get to go be with your family for a week or two. And that's just kind of really shitty, honestly.
I'm going to take Patrick's point of view on this, too. Who's, like, New Year's Day is sort of whatever, right? I don't know anybody that treats that specific day like a big deal and makes plans and all this other stuff.
And everything, it's New Year's Eve going into New Year's Day. After it's already New Year's Day, who cares?
Who cares, right?
Yeah.
Christmas Day, though, who's going to show up, right? I mean, some people do Christmas at different times of the day. It's usually about spending time with your family, and unless you bring the whole family down for a while, which is very cool, but, you know, I have to wonder, who do you think is going to show up? Like, are you booking a smaller venue? Like, I don't know how this is going to work out very well just on that side of the table, because, you know, Christmas is a major holiday here in the States, and, like I said, people like to spend time together.
Well, there are a lot of people that do Christmas, you know, at least most of the Latino people that I know, you do Christmas Eve. You wait till it's midnight on Christmas Eve. That's when you open all the presents, and you might eat, or you usually like eat that night or whatever before, and then you kind of just wait till it's midnight or whatever, and then you do everything. Most people do the gift stuff at like noon or whatever, or early in the morning, and then you know you want to have Christmas dinner. Then it is what it is. I think conceivably, if you're doing this at regular Raw time, by the time it's like 6:30-ish or whatever, you might be done with Christmas, and then it's kind of like, well, you want to go watch Raw? I look at it too, like, you know, coming from a family that, you know, my dad had the Dallas Cowboys season, he still has them, the Cowboys season tickets, and we always have to plan Thanksgiving around, okay, who's going to the game, when are we doing the dinner, because we have to wait until, you know, the game is over, because sometimes the Cowboys have the noon game, sometimes they have the 4:30 game or 3:30 game. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, you don't eat till like 6 or 7 o'clock, or sometimes you eat before and then the rest of the day is kind of like a normal day. So it kind of just depends on if you're buying tickets to that show, you're obviously already basing your holiday around that. But you do have a point, like unless they're going to make the tickets really cheap, mm-hmm, and it's going to be in like one of these like 4,000 seat arenas or something, are you just going to do the show and you don't give a crap if, you know, half of it's even filled or not? Or, you know, what are you doing?
Right. We do Christmas on Christmas Eve at my house. It's an old German tradition that my dad's side of the family brought over that's just been carried down. Plus the added thing of my birthday being on Christmas. But we do Christmas dinner on Christmas Day night. I don't know how it works different for everybody. I know that, but I don't imagine the Christmas Day dinner thing. Yeah, I imagine that's more common than not.
Yeah, I mean that's the thing, though, right? Like if you decide that your family decides, okay, we want to go to the show because maybe it's cheaper than all the other days, or whatever, and it's a Raw, it's not a house show. And say, okay, well, we're going to just have Christmas dinner earlier that day or something.
Right.
And we'll take all the whole family and, you know.
Yeah. It's the way that people try to, you know, associate their day is based on family traditions, like you said, Paul, and all these other scenarios. You know, who can get together when? That's a big thing. You know, I know in my side of the family, sometimes we'll switch things around, and you know, depending on what time people can get together, we'll do it. Maybe early in the morning, maybe late at night, who knows, you know. So they're just really putting us in a place and really hoping people are going to tune in no matter what. Maybe more people are off work and free and they got the time, but I think especially on the Christmas Day part, they're really kind of shooting themselves in the foot. And the reason I say that is you got to also remember, we, you know, Sean, you just admitted sports are taking place on that same time. And on Monday, sure, it's in the afternoon, but the Pittsburgh Steelers play the Houston Texans around 3:30. And then basically that night, when Raw's going to be on, it's going to be Oakland and Philadelphia. So you're going to have people still tuning into the NFL on the day that they were probably hoping that the NFL was taking that day off, and they're not. Mm-hmm. So,
well, they have to know the NFL's – they made this decision today to decide to do live. Okay, so mm-hmm, the NFL schedule's been out for how long?
April.
That's on them if they want to. They're so used to going against Monday Night Football that they don't care at this point. But mm-hmm, it's just, I'd assume to them they're just gonna. It's a loss. We're doing it to see if we can get families to show up. If they don't, they don't. And end of story, I guess.
It's just to me, it just sucks. But hey, you know, it's their time, it's their money.
It totally sucks for the wrestlers. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm, it's awful for them. But I can see it from that perspective of saying it could make us some money.
You're right. It could make them some money. But the other thing I look at is you know, it kind of also kind of affects, you know, even our show and a lot of other people and the way things work, because, you know, a lot of times those shows are recaps or they're specials, you know, that just kind of really highlight the year and what's happened and all that kind of stuff. And now you're taking that away and you're forcing people to watch Raw or at least tune in sometime if they're a follower of it usually, right? And so that just it just kind of is a sucky thing, because you're now putting other people to work and you're making people pay attention and stuff. If they don't watch, you know, on Christmas Day, they don't watch the recap, then they're screwed. So I hate that. It's a bummer.
I'd imagine that they're not going to have anything too important happen on that show. I mean, I would hope, but you never know. WWE might go, oh my God, let's have a freaking Hell in a Cell and do all, you know, like, I mean.
Can you imagine that they do a Hell in a Cell and then put like a big bow on it to make it look like a present or something?
Oh my God.
Put a wreath on top. Dude. Yeah. Like,
oh my goodness. Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun to see what they can make, you know, happen. Hopefully it's a gift of a show and not some coal. So, of course, Michael Cole will be there. Let's, you know, talk about something that I'm really kind of curious if you guys think is going to be a gift or some coal. That is GFW coming out with their own network. That's right. They are going to be just like the WWE.
Perfect way to go to JBL there, but
you're right. I could have, but I don't know that. That's yeah. We'll talk about that in a minute. I have to talk about this GFW stuff. I have to. I can't wait. I want to get into the fact that this may be an early Christmas present we purchased Paul. Because GFW may have their own network. We don't know the price yet, but we do know it's going to be coming our way. And we get to watch old Impact, guys. I can't wait to see what happens once again with AJ Styles and
the old Impact that we already watched. That's probably what's going to be, like the 2012 Impact.
No, come on. They got to give – well, maybe. I just want to see that whole thing go down with Dixie and AJ Styles again. That was lovely, Paul.
Oh,
boy. there's – I don't want to get anybody wrong. If it's old TNA stuff from like when they started to maybe about 05, 06, that's great. There's a lot of good stuff to be had there, and it sort of gets choppy after that. But, I mean, watching the old Impact episodes on Fox Sports Net whenever they were there at the very beginning of Impact was rough, super rough. They were on like mid-afternoon. I don't know how many people remember this, and it's like Fox was just freaking plastered everywhere on the show. It was awful. So I kind of want to watch that again to you know, put myself through a little bit more misery.
You know, Paul kind of said it there. I mean, if they have like the old pay-per-views and, you know, kind of like WWE does, if it's really an archive of TNA, I think that's great. I mean, they have a long enough history that they deserve it, mm-hmm. right? So as long as you're – honestly, I feel like they can't even charge $9.99 for it. I mean, you – what new content are you possibly going to have?
Dude.
What are you going to put Explosion on there? I mean, it's –
they could.
You know. I just don't think that just – like – I think maybe like $5 or $7.99 I think is the most I would go for that.
So here's the really interesting thing. And sorry to cut you off, Gary, but the idea of Global Force Wrestling supposedly having all these great relationships overseas, if you could find a way to stream that content on there, that could actually probably work out pretty well in your favor. I don't know if that's how it's going to work, but that certainly could be an option of, like, maybe streaming Noah or streaming AAA, or they obviously saw that relationship with the Crash. Other places as well, too, could all... It could end up being a pretty neat little thing if they'd go that way. If it's just Global Force Wrestling stuff, then you're right. Like, if you have to pay more than $5, it might not be worth your time.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great idea to kind of bring in those other promotions and really, you know, honestly bring current stuff that's not, you know, like WWE does, which is all old, right? Mm-hmm. All the promotions that they advertised tonight on Raw when they did the whole Did You Know, it's classics, which is fine. I mean, that's great. You love to go back in time, but it's nothing modern. And to offer something that's more of a modern promotion, maybe some storylines that are going on now and showcasing those promotions, that's great. And if that works out that way, sure, it may be worth your money. You know, I don't know. I may still pay the $9.99 if they have Loki reading children's stories to me. Or, you
wow.
know. What? Don't you think I just read that deep voice? Like, yeah, you know. So.
I think I'd be more frightened about the reading stories to me, but, you know, hey.
Yeah. I mean, you could also have a self-motivation video package. You could all, you know, also have people like coming up to you and saying, look, at least you're not, you know, this guy, and show pictures of Grado. You know, things like that. Or, you know, you could have, you know, just a lot of other great stuff. I mean,
isn't Simon Dean an agent there still? Like, he could put the outfit back on and you know, do the old WWE gimmick that he had, where he's really doing the fitness stuff there.
Yeah, there you go. See, they don't work out. And, you know, once again, I mean, you could even have a little thing to making people feel better. You could have, you know, Ali come out and just tell him, you are great, you're special, and say, at least you're not my husband, and point to him, you know, so. Things like
that, right? Wow.
You know, I don't know. They got some things that they could work with, but you're right. I mean, if they don't have that other stuff that Paul mentioned, you know, other promotions, I don't know. I know I probably wouldn't purchase it. I mean,
we've seen New Japan do it, right? Mm-hmm. So it can't be that difficult. And, you know, All Japan's on the Fight TV app now. So I can't imagine that if and hey, Jarrett's the master wheeler and dealer. So if there's somebody that could get current Noah to show up on their network and convince them that that's a great idea, I could see him making it happen. I could see him, you know, AAA, I could easily see that happening because they really don't – I know they have Fight TV in Canada or whatever, but – they could region restrict it and make it to where in the U.S. you could watch it. So, I mean, there's possibilities out there. I just feel like, yeah, without having something current besides Explosion, which nobody's going to care about that, you know, and maybe, I don't know if you put the one night onlys on there for free or something. Maybe that's something, but yeah. The back catalog, I don't think is enough to warrant more than $5 to $8.
Yeah, I'm with you. And you know, with Jeff Jarrett wheeling and dealing with these other promotions, it could be a positive. It could be a negative too. Think about this. I mean, you could have Uganda Wrestling or Yugoslavia Wrestling. I mean, so who knows what kind of stuff he may put on there that you're not going to be interested in. But then again, you know. Yin and yang, you just don't know. I really do want to see the way they present it when it comes out, the price, and of course what their ideas are with it. I know we're making jokes, especially me, but I think that there could possibly some things down the line that we're not knowing about, we don't have any idea of, and that could actually be good. So let's wait and see. But still, kind of funny to me doing this. I want to talk about what Sean was trying to get me to talk about, and that's JBL, though. JBL is going to be leaving WWE. That's right. He is going to go do some other things. He has some projects that he wants to work on. One of them is working with underprivileged children and just kind of stepping away from his normal activities with SmackDown Live and all the other things he does with WWE. Now, he still is going to be an ambassador. He's still going to be around to do probably some stuff with WrestleMania, some of the other bigger stuff that WWE does. But on a daily basis, he is not going to be there. He'll have his other projects to worry about. I mean, Sean, I don't know that this is a terrible thing. I'm kind of happy. I mean, now I get more Corey Graves. He's going to take his spot.
Oh, thank God. Thank God JBL is off SmackDown. I don't have to hear his voice and hear Vince's awful lines being fed to him in the back. Now you get Corey Graves, who is awesome. He is very modern with his jokes and heel work, but also puts over the guys, doesn't say stuff that's ridiculous and like, it's sort of condescending. He condescends, but it's not to the point where with JBL where you're going, okay, dude, just stop.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I really love this move. Glad that they took away his 205 duties so that he gets a little bit of a break. Nigel's going to be doing those, so that should be interesting. Nigel and Vince, Vincent Joseph or Vance Joseph, I think his name is. So, hey, Nigel knows Supermodel of the World, so that could be actually a good thing. And now you hear the same voice on Raw and SmackDown. Very calming.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, there's that sort of insider angle that Corey Graves has that we got to see during the Kurt Angle story, so maybe they can carry some of that over to SmackDown and create something there. I really like this move, though. Corey Graves is terrific. I expect him to do very well. I'm excited to see him work. Not with Byron. I'm forgetting the lead announcer.
Phillips.
Yeah, Tom Phillips. Those two together again should be really fun. So,
you know, that's why we need Corey Graves so he can finally tell us who's the one that wrecked the Fashion Files office.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got that insider info.
Have it solved in a week. Graves.
Yeah, there you go. Just saying, I'd love to see that. That'd be hilarious. But Fashion Files, man, I love it so much. I can't wait. But yeah, I mean, JBL, best wishes to you, man. I'm just excited for the fact that we're going to get Corey Graves twice in, 2 days. That's awesome. WWE.com actually released a video of the four horsewomen of MMA. And the horsewoman of WWE. And, of course, this was apparently around the time that they were filming the Mae Young Classic. And there are rumors going around that this could be a Survivor Series match. And those look to be more legit as the day, grows, So what do you think about that, Paul?
It should be mentioned, too, that the recent episodes they released, too, feature this pretty heavily during Shayna Baszler stuff. So... this certainly looks like a thing that WWE has been planning on for a while and looking to capitalize on. And with all the other ladies sort of taking wrestling training now, this seems pretty likely to happen to me. But this is kind of cool, right? I mean, a big crossover event sort of thing that is very modern. You can't always say that whenever WWE tries to cross over.
Yeah, this is cool. I like that idea. I think they've been trying to do it for a while. Now you kind of have that platform set. If Ronda sticks around afterwards, I think that's a plus for WWE. But I think you can't take that. If that opportunity presents itself, you kind of have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's dollar signs. That's just everywhere dollar signs. And sure, Ronda Rousey may not have that luster around her name like she used to. Still, people are going to pay attention. They're still going to come over and check this out because it's Ronda Rousey. And, of course, the other three women in the MMA world were, relevant, and they had a lot going on in their careers. So people may be tuning in for them as well. I mean, Shayna Baszler was no joke, when she was in the MMA. So now you have this situation going down, and, Survivor Series is a great time to do it. People coming in checking the show out because of that. I think it's important for WWE to do this kind of stuff, and I'm excited about this. This could be a lot of fun, and really hoping it turns out better than, expected, because people get their hopes up, and sometimes WWE kind of lets them down. So I'm hoping this is not one of those occasions. I hope whatever they do here makes sense, and it's quality work, so... really hoping to see it, though. Let's talk about something that I know Sean's kind of going to be excited about, and that's the New Japan's World Tag League that'll be taking place this winter. And we're getting rumors that there's going to be a tag team involved that you guys may be really kind of excited about, to be honest with you. Jeff Cobb and Matt Riddle as the Chosen Bros in this tag league. Sean, are you excited about that?
Oh, yes. I haven't gotten to see them tagged together here in the States, as Paul was telling me about before we got on the air here. But in the tag league, we've seen teams be able to set themselves apart and have good debuts and everything. War Machine was an example. I really want to see them be able to go hit that stage and... oh, how wonderful it would be if New Japan signed both of them after it, too.
This is a really cool deal. Somebody's just got to tell Matt to leave the weed at home. That's a big worry. Jeff Cobb, Matanza, whatever you want to talk about, I'm super excited to see him in New Japan. I think he is a surefire success story waiting to happen for those guys over there. He, big guy, super strong, Olympic background. He's got everything those folks over there love from Gaijin. So Jeff Cobb could do a lot of business over there for them, I think.
I'd be really excited to see this. This is going to be something really fun, and it'll make that tag league a lot more interesting for sure. What was really interesting this weekend was the fact that Ricochet won PWG's Battle of Los Angeles. That's right, and on the way to get that crown, he had to beat Keith Lee and Jeff Cobb himself. Paul, I mean, we, you know, are going to have an issue because we can't see that match and can't really judge it, so it's kind of sad, but at the same point, I'm sure it was great.
I'm sure it was great. You have to wait a while for the DVDs to come out, usually for PWG, but Ricochet is the first two-time winner of this tournament, too, which is kind of cool. So lots of fun. I heard the tournament was great as well, as usual, too. So I know some people aren't super stoked about Ricochet winning, but Ricochet is great. But I mean, I don't see a problem.
Yeah. I don't see the problem either. Pretty awesome for him. I know there was a few matches people were yelling 6 stars at Meltzer while he's standing there watching it. So, you know, it should be some fantastic matches to watch after the fact when the DVD comes out. Speaking of old stuff to watch, Gary, rumors abound that WCW Thunder is going to hit the network.
Yes, and I cannot wait to see what they do with that. I want to see them release some of the better episodes, and I'm hoping they do. I want to see it. It's been so long since I've seen Thunder.
They need to just release Saturday night at the same time while they're doing that, so you can have the whole WCW together.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so I know.
Like, there's so many other shows WCW made too. Like, there's WCW Pro. There's another one they did on Sunday mornings, too. Like, there's a wealth of stuff still from WCW they can release.
I kind of wish they would release the old, Live Wires and Superstars and all that, too.
Old Superstars, for sure, would be helpful. That used to be the A-show for a long time for WWE.
Oh, yeah. God, how many shows? They had that Sunday morning show called Superstars, and they had the old one, you know, from back in the 90s, and they had the most recent one. They certainly like that name as a name for a show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy, yeah. At least they're coming out with new content, and hey, anytime they had WCW content coming my way, I am happy. For sure. Well, one last thing we're going to talk about here in Quick Hits is the fact that we just recently had Chikara and their King of Trios tournament coming out, and we had some winners crowned, and those winners are the British Strong Style guys themselves, Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, and Trent Seven. Paul, I mean, I'm sure you were thrilled. I know you're a big Chikara guy.
Yeah, and I only brought this up just because it's Dunne, Bate, and Seven as well, but they beat last year's winners in the tournament, Team Sendai Team Sendai Girls, and I cannot wait to watch these shows. King of Trios is a great tournament every year, but congratulations to those guys. They got to do it in England, too, in front of the hometown crowd, which is kind of cool.
That's pretty awesome, gotta say.
For sure. So, you know, once again, I mean, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate, for sure, showcase a great ability, and I love Trent Seven, too, so I'm really happy for those guys. But yeah, that pretty much rounds out our quick hits for this week, well, at least for this episode and this week. Of course, we have part two, which will have more great news coming out of the final part of this week. But yeah, let's go ahead and move on. It's of course a celebration of 5 years of this podcast. That's right. Wrestling to the Max has been around for that long, which once again, it's a little bit of a surprise. I did not see that coming at me. I think a testament to how much fun we've had in this show and how much fun I look forward to having each and every week, you know, because it's a treat for me. I can't really speak for Sean or Paul. It really is a treat because I enjoy professional wrestling. I get a chance to talk about it, but not only do I get a chance to talk about it, but I talk about it with two guys that I love, I respect, and I call really good friends. I don't get to see these guys ever, and personally, Paul and I have seen each other on occasion, but don't get together all that often. And of course, you know, you live in Miami now, so our hangout time is not there. So, yeah. You know, it's just been a lot of fun. So this journey has got us here, and looking forward to many bright days ahead of us. Taking a look back, I mean, Sean, we've come a long way. This show has transformed, and we've evolved, and really to the most positive way.
Well, first thing I got out of it is, he loves me. Oh, I love you too, buddy. But I'm just saying, like, you know, it's of course, you know, Paul. Honestly, Paul, I had no idea he went to the same school as I did until we went to that WrestleMania together. And even then, I think it wasn't until, you know, Paul started doing the show that we really got to kind of know each other. And of course, Gary, you know, being roommates and everything, and being our best friend is kind of weird. It's like sometimes people listen to the show and they don't realize that knowing each other that long, they go, "How does this work with you guys? How do y'all have this like seamless chemistry?" Sometimes just, well, you know, you do it this long and you get each other after a while, and then that allows us to all have the trust in each other that it doesn't matter which combination of the show works, which is something that I think we've all had to grasp as we've gotten older and more busy and everything else, that we don't all have to be around and the show can still work. So that's one way that it has grown in the time that we've done this, you know. And so that's always something that I think is really cool, that if I'm not on, or you know, Paul's not on, or Gary's not on, whatever combination it happens to work is, it all winds up okay in the wash. Obviously, it's great when all three of us are here, but sometimes it's not possible. But yeah, it's crazy how we have been able to add things to the show. We've taken away things from the show as well, which, you know, may be to some people's detriment and help the show or not, but I like the fact that we've been able to become more global and be able to talk about more things, you know, because let's be honest, sometimes talking about just WWE all the time gets monotonous, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
So having that variety really keeps you tuned in and be able to, like, let people know about other things.
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest change for the show. Was just how much we've added in the whole time we've been together. I know I was late to the game, but the we used to just talk about WWE and TNA, and now it's all of WWE, plus Global Force Wrestling now, plus New Japan, plus Ring of Honor, plus random stuff every once in a blue moon. It's nice to branch out, like Sean was saying, and two, I know a lot of, like, both of you guys have got to learn a lot more about wrestling. And I have myself, of course, but broadening each other's horizons, I think, has been a very nice and very welcome change of pace for the show since we all got together. I think, 4 years, I think I've been around on the show now, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've been here, you know, not too far after we had gotten this thing going. So, I mean, it just feels like you were here from the beginning, Paul, to be honest with you. I don't even really halfway remember when it was just me and Sean now, and which is, you know, those episodes were fun and all, but me and Sean were learning the whole time we were doing that. And it spun off another show, which was the Dirt Sheets podcast. And, you know, that's so long gone now. It's kind of crazy to think about, too. But, I mean, we finally are at this point to where I didn't know we would be at. And it's something that's really, really special to me. And I love doing this show. And people say, well, you know, you spend a lot of time. You go and do that. And, you know, of course, you know, my family, my wife and all, and making arrangements for it. Sure, sometimes it's difficult because, you know, family, you know, changes here and there, you know, you got things going on at different times, and you know, you have to make arrangements, you know, because I'm trying to watch Monday Night Raw. My daughter's saying, "Hey, I want to watch Sophia the First." It's tough, you know. So I mean, I've got to make those excuses why I have to watch Roman Reigns and not Sophia, because sometimes I would choose Sophia. But you know,
I don't blame you there, buddy. Yeah. Anaya had to watch some of Raw with me today because she was like, "Well, Daddy, I just want to hang out with you." Mm-hmm. And so I was like, "Well, I'm watching the show for the you know, the radio show." And she was like, "Well, okay, I'll just sit here." And, you know, she's playing with the dog and half watching. And she's like, "Daddy, why do you watch that?" I was like, "You know, I really can't explain to you why I watch this." You know, at least not right now. You know, she's still six. I don't want to totally explain all that to her. But it's funny that I tried to get her yesterday. She loves soccer. I tried to get her to watch this NWSL, you know, women's soccer game, and she goes, "Daddy, I already know everything about soccer. I don't need to watch it on TV." And then she sits there and has to watch wrestling with me, and I was like, "I'd rather you not watch this with me, but whatever, you know."
Yeah. get her onto the Mae Young Classic. There you go. You know,
I don't have a problem with her liking it or whatever. It's just kind of like one of those. Of all the things I'd love for you to watch with me, you don't. But then this one thing that, like, wouldn't be my preferred thing for you to watch with me right now, you do. So it's just, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's the way it works. The things you think they will like, they don't. And the things you go, "Oh, there's no way they're going to like this." Oh, great. Now you do.
Thanks. Yeah. And my wife will kill me if my daughter becomes a huge wrestling fan. I guarantee you that.
So, exactly. Yeah. What I didn't want to have to hear from my mom. "How dare you let her watch this?" I was like, "Well, Mom, you sit there and have her watch those awful novellas in front of you. So, you know, you can't say anything."
See? There you go. Yeah, I mean, this show, you know, once again, it's touched our families. It's been a part of us. And, you know, that's what, you know, it means so much to me, I think, because it has become a part of my life. And I'm okay with that because, once again, I kind of get excited. You guys may kind of look at it as a job.
We have an episode of the show where Gary says, "Hey, I'm pregnant. Hey, my wife's pregnant." So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I mean, So, I mean, basically, and I tell people this too, I said, this is really a journal of our opinions about wrestling, but it's also a journal of our lives. You know, why did I start this show out with a spill of what we're excited about, what we're doing, it's because this is a journal. Like, when I'm, you know, hopefully, you know, older, you know, before I pass away at 45 or so, I would like to be able to look back and say,
God,
you know,
how morbid.
I like to look back and say, "Hey guys, you know, listen to this. This is actually what time this happened. I can't believe that was when, you know, my daughter took her first steps, or, you know, my daughter went to kindergarten, or, you know, those kind of things." You know, that's why we like to share a little bit about our lives at the beginning. Plus, people sometimes actually enjoy listening to us talk about we're people.
Well, you know, everybody has banter at the beginning, and if you don't, you're just being too super serious, you know. And I feel like I don't do it on every show because I think sometimes it gets overly redundant. Like on the other shows that I do, we kind of get more into business, you know, just because I'd already talked to Gary that day most of the time. And like, it, you know, I think for those shows, they don't care so much. But that's another thing too. Like, how many things do we do now because of this show spinning off stuff? You know, like, we have a whole network because of this one show. We have a website mainly because of this one show. You know, the website has different things on it, and it becomes about one thing or another at different time periods. But I like the fact that if you want that option, you can talk about so many different things. It's not just wrestling. And because of this show becoming what it is and having the partnerships that we have with, you know, 411 and all that stuff, that we've been able to say, "All right, let's make this a brand thing." And maybe the brand hasn't become as big as probably we envisioned at first, but it's still cool that it's there.
Yeah. You know, it's only been here 5 years, right? I mean, there's people that have been around for 15 years who are still, you know, trying to figure things out. And I'm so proud of how we've far we've come and how we've grown and the things we're doing. And, you know, the network is amazing and the website is great and awesome itself. And the fact that, you know, this show kind of started all that, it, to me, it's still special and it means something. And the friendships that we've gained, and I know you guys have worked over at 411mania.com and we've gained a lot of people there, but, you know, we've honestly met a lot of people through the Facebook group that we started with Wrestling to the Max. Some of our relationships with guys over 411mania.com still stick around and did stick around because of the fact of this show and the things that we were doing. And, you know, I just feel so honored, you know, to make those friends like Harry Broadhurst and Patrick Ketz, guys like that who I love to talk to. Tony Acero, who another guy that's, you know, really cool. And just there's so many guys, all the guys over there. Over
Tom is
Tom. Still yes. I can name. There's plenty. I'm sorry if I'm missing your name, but if you have been interacted with me or you're a part of the Facebook group and, you know, you're a regular guy that, you know, talks, man, we just love those interactions. I mean, heck, I mean, we met Glenn and, you know, I'm going to get in trouble because I'm forgetting people probably.
There's so many people, seriously, over the years that I don't know how many Facebook friends I have, just some people that are from the group or that I know listen to the podcast but maybe don't interact in the group that much. And the people that – my favorite thing is getting the people that will either message me or tweet me or post in the group that you guys got me to watch New Japan or you guys got me to watch this. And I'm like, well, if we got you to watch that by three dudes just talking about it, then we did something, and that's cool. We got you to – not that – and I don't want this to sound like it's bad. Not that I don't want you or we don't want you to spend all your days watching WWE. If that's what you want to do, do it, man. Be like that guy on Hulu that says, I'm just a WWE fan. But, you know, if you want to be a wrestling fan and expand your horizons, you know, that's what we encourage you to do is watch other stuff. You'll realize – how great wrestling is from all different angles, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it makes you appreciate WWE sometimes when you see low production quality. Yeah. And you're like, okay, WWE. Okay. At least you do that right. But you know, once again, I mean, this is just so much fun. And, I don't know, Paul, I don't mean to cut you off. Did you have anything else you were wanting to say for?
No, I mean, it's really nice after all. Like, we have a lot of stuff we can point to and say this happened because of this show. Just sort of all the extra things we've made. Like, I wouldn't have gotten my foot in the door at 411 if it wasn't for this show. Or I wouldn't have been able to have the platform to just talk about wrestling, which is one of the reasons why I love doing this show. And all these other things, you know, hanging out with you guys. Like, WrestleMania weekend that we got to actually do the shows together was really, really fun and something I'd love to do again at some point. But like just all the stuff we've been able to do as a team, basically as a family almost, it's just been really, really cool.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought out the word family because really we are a family and we can depend on each other. And, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've said thank you to Paul for backing me up when I couldn't do something. And Sean for understanding, like, I can't be there, guys. I'm sorry. And Sean's like, no problem, man. Do your thing. I've got it. I'm taking care of it. And it means so much. And so this is what's really cool about 5 years of doing a wrestling podcast where most people would just say it's just a show. It's just about wrestling. No, it's much more than that. You guys may or may not understand that. And hopefully now with us voicing it, you do. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do one last thing before we kind of get out of this because people are like, okay, talk Ring of Honor. at least part of the show people are, I'm sure. I want to do one last thing, and that is, of course, we're going to go around the table here, and we're going to say one thing that we do for sure say that we love or that we've learned doing this show, and the other thing I want you to answer is what you hope to do by doing this show. Who wants to start?
Boy,
we should have pre-planned this.
Yeah.
I'll start. You guys think about it. Just kind of sit down. Okay. So one thing that I've learned by doing this show is the fact that I have a voice. And to be honest with you, for a long time there, I was an introvert. I never wanted to get on. Heck, if you want people want to know this, go check out our first shows. They're out there. You will see how I'm just kind of like, and I really didn't know. And now I feel like this show has made me become an adult, has made me learn how to speak to people and learn how to voice my opinion. I'm a better public speaker because of doing this show week in and week out and it really getting across my ideas, my thoughts better. It's just really helped me and it's given me an education that I never probably could have learned just by doing a speech class. Because trust me, I did those in college, didn't help me any. And this really has done that for me. So this is something I appreciate about the show. One thing that I want to learn or really do in the future is, of course, I want the show to grow and I want more people to hear about us. And not just because for us, I mean, I'm not planning on being a millionaire because of the show, but I want people to, you know, once again, see that we have these opinions and see if, you know, they like them. And not only that, I want to also be able to be, you know, in a better place with this show and really do some great things. So that's my thought. I just hope in the future that's the case. So who wants to go next?
Oh, boy. Stuff I'm grateful for. There's a lot of things. Public speaking is definitely one, like Gary mentioned. I honest to God, I talk to you guys more than I do some members of my family just with how many hours we do together every week. There's that too, but, so many different things to be really grateful for. I'll just restate, I guess, sort of what I enjoy us having the platform that we do. And I know we don't have a giant viewership and I know and it's not small either. I know that, but just having the opportunity to talk wrestling, which is something I've been hugely passionate about since, going on 25 years now, honestly, just being able to talk about it and express my opinions and discuss all the different things about wrestling has just been wonderful. I'm really grateful for that. Honestly, someday I'd really love it if we had somebody to produce for us. Like, I think that'd be great. Just, we could just focus on the show and somebody taking care of all the technical issues in the future would be just phenomenal.
And you can apply for that at W2MN.com.
Yes, you can. Or just email me, W2MNetwork@gmail.com. That works too. That'd be great. Yeah, like, you know, if we just had a person that was running everything and, you know, we could have drops and stuff like that if we wanted to or whatever, and neither Paul nor I have to mess with that. But hey, you know, I think we do okay with, yeah, whether it's you or I doing it. So, you know, I think for me, it's I don't even a large part of I get a lot of crap for doing this, and it's not not for doing this show. It's probably for doing all the other zillions of shows that I do in conjunction with this show. So. But I've learned that this is really just something that's something great to be happy about, to be able to say that you did something for 5 years, pretty much every week without fail, doing a show about wrestling and being prepared and knowing what that's like. And that's another thing, is like, it's taught me how to be more prepared for things, how to study for things, how to break things down. I've learned how to watch wrestling better because of the show. and that goes for other things that I do, but, you know, it's, I think I've learned the public speaking thing, I think, goes without saying. You do this stuff for this long, you become a better, because you learn how to think on your feet. Mm-hmm. You learn how to, we don't sit here and have, we don't sit here in this Google Doc and have everything written out, right? We have bullet points and then everything else is whatever comes to our head. And we don't really sit there and, I know a lot of shows do this where they do a run through before they they go on to make sure that people aren't stumbling around and stuff. And I know that means that sometimes we do stumble around, but we don't sit there and do that either. Whatever we say on this show, we say it right then. There's times where, you know, we'll make comments here before then, but we try to say it on here so that you guys get our opinion and whatever that is there. Now, if you're in the Facebook group or whatever, you might get it there too. But if you're not, then this is the first time you're hearing it, and we appreciate it when you and I know that we probably have more listeners than we know, just because a lot of these metrics sometimes don't tell you everything. But we appreciate every single one of you, and I think the thing I most appreciate is getting to spend whatever time it is with you guys, you know, because when I moved over here, I said, oh God, here goes all my friends over there, you know, and I was like, well, I really miss hanging out with Gary, and this is kind of I get to hang out with Gary for an hour and a half or 2 hours or whatever doing this show. And sadly, it usually means we don't talk as much because we already talk a lot on these shows with each other, but I think that's the most important thing is just being able to have friendships that last and know we can count on each other and know that we are becoming better people by doing these shows. And it's something I think I can be proud of. And I know Gary can say that too, of, you know, whether the show lasts another year or 5 more years or whatever, and our kids get older, we can show them this huge library of stuff that we did. And say, hey, you can do, if you have the dedication and you care about something, you can do it for that long too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, it's really cool, you know, to think that my daughter one day, you know, would look back and listen to shows just to maybe see what I thought or just to hear me. And, you know, that's cool to me to think that that could take place. And just as long as my wife stays away from certain shows we've done, I'm okay with that, right? Maybe once I die, I'm okay with it then. But, some of the shows, maybe the things I should not said, maybe. So, yeah.
I think, too, I mean, to be honest, you know, not this one in particular, but, like, you know, since we started doing the review shows and stuff, I'm not going to say that everything we do is always the most enjoyable thing on planet Earth. You know, some of these things are a grind.
Mm-hmm.
But we do them just because we know you guys like listening to them. And, you know, whether it's that Raw that night or that SmackDown or the pay-per-view or whatever, sometimes we do take away from other things that we, I guess, could be doing just because, hey, we know that this is something that you guys are going to enjoy when we do it, and we appreciate that you take that time to listen, because Lord knows there are a zillion wrestling podcasts out there, and maybe we're one of the 5 or 10 or whatever that you listen to. That's cool.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, J.J. Dillon has one. That shows you how many there are. So, yeah. Anyway, yeah, I mean, we've enjoyed, you know, like I said, reminiscing and kind of talking about the show. And once again, Sean's already said it, we definitely appreciate you for tuning in every week and checking in on us. And if this is one of your first time listening to us, hey, then guess what? You can listen to us from now on. Hey, listen to us for 5 years and tell us what you think. And we'll have this discussion all over again. But
if anything, Gary will just make you laugh.
Hopefully so. Hopefully it's not some of the bad jokes. But yeah, I mean,
the bad jokes I think are what I've laughed hardest at over the last 5 years.
The bad jokes are the ones.
We'll see. At least I'm good.
The ones that make you go, "Oh my lord!" All right. Waiting to get the angry email about that.
And do I really know him like I thought I did? Yeah. But no, I mean, really, honestly, the one thing I want to say is, you know, just to kind of plug a few things here on the way out before we do Ring of Honor. You know, Sean works like a dog on all our shows. He does so much work on the Wrestling of the Max show, but he does a lot for all the other shows on the network. And of course, you know, make sure you tune in for the football show tomorrow. You'll get a chance to check out and see how much more work Sean does and how much that he invests his time in all of this. So I have to say, Sean, thank you for still sticking around, even though you're doing so many other things. You make this show so much better just being, you know, you and not letting all this other stuff crowd you. And you give us the time that, honestly, you know, you probably could be spending on other things. And, of course, I mean, Paul has done so many great things on his own, too, without us. And so I'm excited to see you doing the Mae Young Classic, Paul. I'm telling you, you guys have screwed me this week because I listen to a paranormal podcast every week. My Saturday is to finish it out. I have not finished those paranormal podcasts because I listen to you guys on the Mae Young Classic. And I was enjoying it too much. I couldn't cut it off. I had to finish you guys talking about Mae Young. So the Mae Young Classic, not Mae Young herself. Because that would have been a little sexually oriented. So at least it was about the classic.
Everything about that Royal Rumble 2000 too much.
Oh. Yeah, let's keep away from all that. But no, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, Paul said he's a better public speaker because of the show. It's definitely obvious. Go check out the Mae Young Classic. He has to control Harry and Patrick. You know he's professional when you do that.
We've had a lot of fun doing that show so far, too. I really enjoyed the last two episodes. We'll be doing two more tomorrow as well, if I can get a cheap plug out.
No, definitely. People, go check it out. Trust me, these guys are doing an excellent job. I'm kidding, but seriously, they have educated me so much. And if you don't know a lot of these young ladies over there at the Mae Young Classic, you're going to know them as soon as you listen to those shows. Go check out the ones they already have out there on demand, and the ones they're doing tomorrow, I'll be tuning in. And I hope you are, too.
Yeah, those are really good shows. I've had a lot of fun listening to them at work. I've had people be like, what the hell are you laughing at? Like, I can't explain to you what I'm laughing about, but know that it's something really funny. I'm like, so
just know there's a pirate involved. So anyway,
I do want to say thank you to all the people that are on our network. Just because I know some of them do listen to the show and everything, but like, thank you to all you guys that have done podcasts for us, that do podcasts for us, that you know, Eric that has taken over a lot of producing duties for me. Randy, who, you know, is no longer doing stuff with us, but he was an integral part for many things. Like, just all the people on the website staff, like, they are awesome. And it's just, it's like a testament to, like, some of these people are our friends and we know them, right? And they're willing to do stuff for us. But, like, there's just random people that we've gotten to join up and do things, or people that I've met through someone else. And it's just like, wow, he now does so much stuff. And I barely knew the guy, like, you know, a few months ago. So it's amazing who we've been able to meet and stuff, and how this thing's been able to grow. So, you know, just want to say thank you to them, and just getting to do more things that we enjoy because of them. Like, getting into that soccer podcast all the time now is really fun. And Eric is, God, Gary makes me laugh, but he also makes me laugh and trying to control him. That's another thing too, is learning how to do both these roles, which is not, I think people think that this stuff is very simple, but learning how to do both these roles of hosting and also analyzing stuff that's like really cool to be able to say that all three of us can do either one and we all do great at it. So,
yep, I couldn't say any better myself. So there you go. 5 years are in the can. I'm looking forward to the next 5 years for sure. So there you go, guys. We really appreciate you. And now we are going to help you out and talk about some Ring of Honor. I'm excited about this. So let's go ahead and do it.
All right, Ring of Honor this week basically just opens by throwing you right into the action, Gary, because Jay Lethal and the Beer City Bruiser are already throwing some huge haymakers in the aisleway after the opening credits, and this leads into their no DQ match that goes down when Silas eventually comes out for commentary, and there's about 10 or 12 security guards trying to keep Silas away from getting involved in the ring and making sure everything goes down fair and square in there, and naturally, you know how this is going to go. Jay Lethal does get the victory. He takes Beer City Bruiser's beer can and basically destroys his ankle with it, grabs a chair to do some more work, and then makes him tap out very quickly in a figure four leg lock, and even goes so far as to reapply it afterwards and tries to fight Silas some more, and security breaks him up. So a lot of heat going on in here. I thought the match was fine, though. It wasn't anything I was super invested in, but I think everything they did was really good.
It was, and the Beer City Bruiser is a Beer City Bruiser, right? I mean, he's just a big guy who kind of, you know, is a brawler. He's not, you know, going to go out there and do 450 splashes or, you know, do these amazing moves in the ring. He's just going to be out there kicking the crap out of you, or you're going to be kicking the crap out of him. And I think a little bit of all took place here with Jay Lethal. And I liked that the fact that they added Silas Young because it needed to be there. And the reason it needed to be there, you needed to break up some of the monotony, because, you know, there's only so many times you can watch the Beer City Bruiser beat up on Lethal and then Lethal get this payback. The whole, I mean, what was it? It felt like 20 minutes of them fighting. I don't know how long actually it was, but it felt like a little while because you had commercial breaks involved too. So they really went at it, but you have Silas Young really like getting on commentary, I think, twice, and then trying to get off commentary to come to the ring, and the security guards won't let him. I like that part. It, to me, it feels like it's, you know, more reality based, and I really appreciated it. And for Jay Lethal to do what he did, it showed that, you know, the anger, all the buildup, and just all the emotions that he had, for him to do something like that and kind of go back to his heel way of doing things, I kind of thought it was cool. Now, was this the best thing in the world? Not really. It was okay. At times I kind of felt myself saying, okay, can we be done with this? But overall, I'm still enjoying the story. I can't wait to see what Silas Young does now to Jay Lethal and to see how this progresses.
Yeah, like I said, the work in the ring isn't, I think, the real thing that gets you into this. It's the heat that surrounds it all. I think Silas does a very good job on commentary, and Lethal and Bruiser definitely bring a lot of fire to the occasion as well, which really helps, I think, keep it moving along nicely, despite the fact that the ring work, like I said, is just sort of... It's not, I don't want to say it's bad, but it's above average. It's just not great, you know, so.
Yeah, I don't want people to think I'm underselling the Beer City Bruiser. I think that he's a great talent at what he does, right?
Exactly.
His skill set is to brawl, and he does an excellent job of that. You know, him and Silas as a tag team, they just work. I appreciate those guys. So I don't want people saying that I'm downing the Beer City Bruiser. I'm not. I think that he does what he does, and hey, a decent start to the show.
Absolutely, absolutely decent start. And then we get this huge string of promos here, so I'll try to keep them sorted together in how they run. We get another video package for Minoru Suzuki, who will be challenging Cody for the ROH World title at Death Before Dishonor later this month. And then Cody gets some promo time to talk about Suzuki. Says he's going to break him and that Minoru Suzuki is going to call him daddy. Cody Rhodes, rip, bro. You're dead. You're so dead.
You know, I appreciate Cody is trying to basically pull his dad out of him, right? He's trying to find his inner American dream by being the American Nightmare. And I appreciate that. I think he's done a lot of great stuff compared to what he used to do back in the day. And I kind of feel for him because he wants to do, you know, what his dad once did. I think this is good, and I actually don't have any problems with it. I kind of like the way he kind of goes throughout this whole process of talking about Suzuki, talking about he is, you know, really the nightmare, and you know, even given the kiss of the title, it means something here. So I appreciate it. I think Cody Rhodes once again does a pretty darn good, you know, little promo video here. The Suzuki video package that they put together was pretty awesome, I have to say. I really enjoyed seeing that, and really kind of got me hyped about what's going to be taking place here at, you know, this next pay-per-view. So, I mean, I'm happy with it. I think that they did a good job overall in selling that feud.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. And like I said, just we might need a body bag and a headstone ready for Cody after Death Before Dishonor. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
We get a recap video of Will Ferrara attacking Cheeseburger. Will Ferrara disguised himself as a Jushin Thunder Liger fan and then beat up Cheeseburger. We'll get to more of that later. Because we get some recap of the Addiction ruining last week's main event for the World Tag Team titles between the Young Bucks and the Motor City Machine Guns, which brings us to Cedric Alexander, I can't believe I wrote that, Caprice Coleman's pulpit segment, where he still doesn't have a set. He says he's going to earn it here with his interview with the Addiction. And this is kind of cool, I thought, because Caprice and the Addiction are on the same page as far as their problems. They have a beef with Ring of Honor, and they have a beef with the fans, and the Addiction basically spell everything out. They're going to kill everything that Ring of Honor and its fans hold dear to them by ruining everything. They don't even want to be champions. They don't want to represent this company. They just want to destroy it. There's a lot of seeds out there for this to become a stable if they want. For example, Caprice here now has a gripe. You could sort of throw in Will Ferrara if you wanted to into this with his beef with Cheeseburger. And there's a couple other things I feel like that are sort of setting some seeds for maybe a long-term storyline here outside of the Bullet Club, which is what Ring of Honor has been running with for almost a year now, I think.
I actually would not have a problem with that being a faction. I think all those guys together would make a pretty interesting, you know, group. So they go that route, I'm okay with it. If they don't, still okay with it, right? I mean, I think what you got with Caprice Coleman works by itself. I love his griping. I love the fact that he is basically saying, look, I've already asked for all this stuff. I emailed him like 4 weeks ago for my stuff, and they obviously don't care. I just love that process and what he's going through, and you're kind of living it week in and week out. And so, I mean, I'm completely golden with just having that, and of course, what the Addiction is doing. Will Ferrara, I'm kind of seeing some good stuff out of him because I'm starting to care about Will Ferrara. I'm starting to care about the fact that, you know, he's just a jerk. And I can't tell you how much I loved watching him pretend he was a fan and then beat up Cheeseburger. I thought that was hilarious. I'm sorry. I laughed. I was like, oh my God, a fan beats up Cheeseburger. And then he comes out Will Ferrara. So it is what it is. But I mean, that's the stuff you need to build him up. And they're doing a good job. And beating up one of the biggest baby faces that Ring of Honor has is the best way of doing it. Overall, all this stuff is good. I mean, you know, and Caprice's pulpit, I think, could be something special if they want it to be something special. I hope they continue on with it. And heck, if they want to keep griping, that's fine too. But overall, all this stuff you just mentioned to me was quality stuff that Ring of Honor has to offer on one episode. That's a lot of stuff. That actually is good for this episode, so I'm thrilled. It didn't take a lot of time either.
Exactly, it did not take a lot of time, which I thought was nice. And speaking of Will Ferrara, he has a match with a newcomer, newcomer by the name of Howie Timbershay, who I don't know about you, Gary, I was really entertained by this guy. He's not a bad wrestler, but he likes to sing during his matches. And I just found it really entertaining. I kind of hope he comes back for more, and I mean, Will Ferrara ends up getting the win here after basically Howie dominates a good portion of the match, but I was into this, you know?
Yeah, see, there is something about Cumbershay. I don't know what it is per se. Sure, the singing is fun. I think he does a good job of it. He kind of reminds you, like, when you watch NFL films, right? Some of those guys will go out and hit somebody, knock them out, and then they'll walk away and they'll just be singing a little diddle or a song that's popular on the radio, and they'll go back to work. And that's what this guy's doing. And I kind of think it's definitely a different change of pace. It's something that we have not seen a lot of. I know other wrestlers, of course, have sang and done things like, but not like this. This, to me, this was like, it was a formula. It was part of his match. And I really liked it. And I hope there is more of that. And he's got a little bit of a charisma to him that, you know, usually when they introduce somebody that's new, that doesn't usually take place. So I think he's got something special here. I think that we're looking at a guy that's going to be a future big talent for Ring of Honor, possibly. Not, this is early. Can't really say that for sure, but I feel like he has that potential. So I'm with you, Paul. I didn't know what it was, but I really like this guy, and I was really behind him the entire time.
Yeah, I think he has the potential to be a super popular mid-card act, I think. Just with sort of how he carries himself and all that. And then, like I said, he's not a bad wrestler either, so that can carry you pretty far.
And by the way, people, if you're listening to this and you know, you listen to us talk about Ring of Honor, but you're not really watching it, WWE's Aiden English, this is not what we're talking about singing, by the way.
Yeah.
This is a better.
Yeah, this is a very much like Gary was mentioning, a guy singing popular songs that happen to fit a situation that he's in. It works out really great. So I can't really recommend this enough just for how different it was. I thought it was a nice change of pace.
Mm-hmm.
Afterwards, Cheeseburger comes out and challenges Will Ferrara to a match one-on-one next week on Ring of Honor TV, to which Ferrara accepts. Burger's gonna kill you chance, which made me laugh very hard.
Oh, man.
So that's something to look forward to next week. And then we get this Jay Briscoe promo. He is not going to be in the main event tonight, which was originally supposed to be a six-man tag. Now it's a tag team match because he has suffered a concussion, quote-unquote, by the Kingdom, who did that triple team concerto on him. And however, Briscoe says Ring of Honor still sent him a plane ticket, so he's here. And what happens is going to be on Ring of Honor's head, not his. So any thoughts on all that before we jump into this main event, Gary?
Okay, so I have a couple things here. The one is that Dr. Maroon better be glad that Jay Briscoe wasn't in the room the same time Barry Corbin was. And if anybody doesn't know, we didn't say in quick hits, but just really quickly here, Baron Corbin apparently got in trouble because Dr. Maroon was the concussion guy. Exactly the same guy that told Daniel Bryan he can't wrestle anymore. Telling them about concussions, CTEs, and all that. And Corbin's kind of stepped up to him in their little meeting, and that kind of made WWE very angry. So I can just imagine Jay Briscoe having that same conversation with him. But Jay Briscoe's mad at Ring of Honor for holding him out. I love the promo, though, Paul. I love him saying, "You forgot you sent me a plane ticket and you didn't cancel it."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that. And it's something so small. It's a little nuance, but it means a lot. And so I appreciated that. And you know, I was kind of excited to see what he would be involved and how he would be involved in this. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that leads to a whole big happening here in the main event as Mark Briscoe teams up with Bully Ray to take on Cody and Hangman Page here in the main event. And this is another one where the ring work is sort of secondary to everything that's happening here. Bully and Mark call for the tables. This Marty Scurll runs in with the umbrella to attack. This brings out Jay Briscoe to run him off. And just as Jay is about to sort of put him through the table with a Jay Driller, Marty ends up fighting off and running away, and they brawl out into the crowd. The Kingdom comes out after goes up for a Froggy Bow, and they shove him off into Cody, who hits a crossroads to get the victory. And then afterwards, the Kingdom chase off Cody and just put the beat down on Bully and Mark, seeing as they are the team that beat them for the titles and their style, looking for revenge. And Jay comes running back in to try to help fight him off, but falls victim to the numbers game and eats a Rockstar Supernova, which has a very large contact portion on the head and neck area, so they played up the concussion thing again. There's a lot going on here, and the Kingdom basically gets to win out here and look strong, which I still wager if TK hadn't gotten hurt, they might still be the six-man tag team champions right now, Gary.
It wouldn't surprise me. And the New Kingdom is something that, to me, has a lot of charisma. It's actually a force to be reckoned with. And so now they're back, they're doing their thing, and they're proving that you're stepping on some toes here when you're messing with Jay Briscoe and Mark Briscoe, and especially Bully Ray. You get, in a way, kind of, you know, around also the Bullet Club, who are also kind of dangerous. So these guys are obviously out to prove a point, and to do that by using Jay Briscoe, it's a big move. It really, really is. And I think it sets a statement for what the Kingdom's about. And, man, I mean, I can't say it enough. This match itself was okay. Not great, but it was okay. They had its moments. But this end sequence here, it just really put a stamp on who the Kingdom is and why you should be fearful of them. I think before this, people didn't really know what to think about them, and this whole Kingdom situation was just kind of, you know, we'll wait and see. I think you're seeing now, and you may be a little nervous what you're going to get.
Yeah, they've looked super strong since the reveal that TK is healed. I would wager this six-man match here between the Kingdom and the Briscoes and Bully Ray is going to go down a death before dishonor. But we're just going to have to wait and see, because that covers all of Ring of Honor this week, Gary.
That's right. And, of course, you know, make sure you tune in every week to get Ring of Honor on our Monday show, which will be available Tuesday morning on the download. Yeah, that is our show overall. We appreciate everybody who has came and checked us out tonight. You guys are amazing. You know, and once again, make sure you go check out W2Mnet.com. It's the place where you go find all your great wrestling needs. Not only that, but you also find out some more information about video games. You got some football, soccer. You also, you know, have entertainment as well. Well, tons of stuff over there at W2Mnet.com to go check out and then just really sit back and enjoy. Go rate, subscribe, and review at Wrestling to the Max wherever you find it. Maybe YouTube, Apple Podcasts, wherever it is. Go do it now. It'll, of course, get you all our stuff right in one place. And once again, thank you so much to 411mania.com as well as Last Word on ProWrestling.com. Appreciate them for all their support. That pretty much wraps us up tonight. Man, check us out. Episode 263, Part 2, will be available for you Friday morning on the download when we talk Impact Wrestling. We'll be getting into, of course, some, you know, Lucha Underground, which will be taking place with that tournament, and all that stuff that has taken place, you know, is well rounded out, and now you're getting the aftermath of everything and really getting excited about what's going to be happening, you know, getting closer to the end of this season of Lucha Underground, and a lot more with a lot more great quick hits and some other great stuff, plus crowning a superstar of the week. So there you go, guys. I am, of course, Gary Vaughn, and he is Paul Leeser and Sean Garmer. And until next time, if you're not living life to that max,
not living life at all,
you know it.
Peace.
Later.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.